We spent a lot of time this year talking about knossos. So we always give us that example of a knas, besides my personal knas. Of knas, we always give an example of a guy parks, right? A guy parks on the wrong side of the street, so he gets a knas. So we said, he wasn't mazik the city too much. He wasn't really, there's no real correlation between the amount of money and the down. That's the way it is. Knas. Alternate side of the street parking is called a knas. So since we spent so much time talking about alternate, we'll talk about alternate now also. We'll start off with a marshal of alternate side of the street parking. We know we live in a city that's very respectful of all different holidays and faiths and religion. Good, very nice, tolerant people. So we get the best of all worlds in our city. Any day it's a holiday, according to any shita under the sun, whether it's our holidays, Yenim holidays, it doesn't matter whose holiday it is, you get a break in alternate. That's every once in a while, you know, those who live in New York, those who park in New York, so they always get that kavalik here all of a sudden on the news. I imagine they know when it has a news by getting on their phone now. It tells you there's an alternate. So, and sometimes you scratch your head and try to wonder, why is it an alternate? What is it? It's not Columbus Day. It's not Veterans Day. It's not Thanksgiving. It's not January 1st. What is it? So it's another religion, a whole different... Okay, good. We'll take whatever alternate days, awful day. So there was this chadish something several years ago. It used to be that Purim wasn't on the charts in terms of being potter from alternate. Now it is. Right? Now it is. So there was a chadish. There's no alternate on Purim. Right? So the question is a lomdish shaila. So why isn't it an alternate? It's not going to make a major difference tomorrow because alternate has been canceled for the last 6 months anyway. But for sure it's going to be canceled tomorrow. But what's the lomdish? Why is there no alternate on Purim? So one would think that it's part of the regular picture of Pesach Shavuos Sukkos Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Whenever there's Nisan Malacha, so and respect to the Orthodox Jews, so they cancel alternate. They want the person to be nichshol to move your car on the day of Malacha. So that's usually the reason that's given. So that would be interesting. That would be the pshat. So then the New York City was mechaving to the havamina of Mordechai Yester. Because the Gemara points out that originally they wanted to make Yom Tov of Purim into Mamashin Isser Malacha. That was the original plan. And if you look at the, if you pay attention carefully, hopefully you are paying attention tonight, so you'll notice that when the first message goes out to Purim, so it describes Purim as being Simcha Mishtevi Yom Tov. It describes it as Yom Tov. And the image of Yom Tov conjures up the image of Nisim Malacha. And that was the original plan. The original plan was that there should be Nisim Malacha in Purim. Then later in the Megillah it says, La'asosa something named Mishtev Simcha. So the word Yom Tov is conspicuously missing from that description. So Chazal tell us, because Lo Kiblu, Klai still didn't want it. So we have a rule, Ain goes in Gezeir L'Tzibachim, Rome L'Tzibachim, but we're not going to make a takon if Tziba doesn't want it. So there was a little bit of a sichsuch, a little bit of a change of plans as to whether Purim has the din of a Yom Tov in the fullest sense of the word. So, obviously, nobody has informed New York City that the psach has changed, that there is no Isur Malacha. So, the teretz is that they know also that there's no Isur Malacha. But the reason why there's no altar is for a totally different reason. Nothing to do with the din of Yom Tov, which Taka isn't mentioned. It has to do with the first half of Simcha Mishta, because they're nervous, somebody was ma'ari to them, that maybe it's not a good idea to force people to move their cars on certain days of the year when maybe there's too much Mishta or Simcha going on. Because apparently they're cheshish for those Rishayim who interpret the Gemara of Pshuto. So we would pass like the Ramah unequivocally that they're not supposed to be too much Mishnah. And any amount of Mishnah, you know, wouldn't be Kahalach anyway. So would be done, the Takash of the alternate tomorrow. But Baruch Hashem, no one's going to inform them of that. So it's neither Yom Tov nor enough of a Mishnah to ask the alternate. But that's the way it is. So with those words of introduction, I want to speak a little bit about, with some of a little bit more degree of reality, about what exactly the notion of Yom Tov is on Purim. The fact that Purim is called the Psa Yom Tov in the Megillah, but it's not quite a Yom Tov. And although the Gemara thought that it was a Yom Tov, but at the end the Gemara says that's not really a Yom Tov. So it's interesting, there's a minig that the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the Maharil, he's supposed to wear a big day Yom Tov on Purim. You're not supposed to stand walk around and looking like silly. He's supposed to wear a big day Yom Tov. So I was always wondering, there are more quotes the minig to get dressed up on Purim, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the Maharil, he's supposed to wear a big day Yom Tov on Purim. So how do those two things jive together? So the Pashas Advarim is that the minig of dressing up, they never really dressed up in costumes. In summer they were just dressing up with masks. So that it wasn't a steamer. They wore their Shabbos clothes, their Yom Tov clothes, and they put a mask on. So if you hold like that, then it wasn't a problem to chlal. But if you hold it, they were mamash wearing clothes. So the Ramah does mention the fact that people used to wear shatnez derabanan. So it sounds like they were wearing special clothes also of costumes. But if you like that minig, that's a different story. So how do you resolve that? So the answer is that the minig of dressing up was not the Shas HaMegillah, not b'shas tefila, like you're going to dress up when you're davening. When you're davening, even on Purim, there's a bit of omer b'fnei hamelech. So you're not supposed to wear a costume when you're davening on Purim. So that's what the pshat is that when you're davening on Purim, when you come to shul tonight, you come to shul tomorrow morning, you're supposed to be wearing yantav clothes, Shabbos clothes. That's the nitting of the Maharil. It should be a little bit of a semblance of a din yantav. Then afterwards, after davening's over, then you can switch off and you can go you can fulfill your minhag with the Ramah of putting on masks and putting on funny clothes. That's what the pashat said for him was. I was trying to explain that to Avram Zev because he asked me today whether he can. Now he's wearing tefillin already, so I saw the way his mind was going. How's he going to wear his tefillin and wear his silly costume? It's not going to fit. So I explained to him, no, the costume is after davening. Until now, he always wore the costume during davening. I explained that I almost thought a mitzvah boy, and I got to switch to what the real thing is for davening, you dress like davening, and for the costume is after. Anyway, last year I remember from Minchas, my costume was this. Kids made me wear this funny face paint, so I was walking around with an orange face for the rest of my costume. So the rest of the costume was very easy to take off of Mincha, but it was very hard to get off the face paint. So now we're Mincha looking like a pumpkin, so I hope it didn't fit right. Whatever. So anyway, getting back to the story. So now we get to the real story. So what exactly is this Yontif dimension of Purim? What is this all about? That Purim has a dimension of a Yontif to it. So I thought that perhaps the idea that even though it's not literal in the sense that there's no real din of Yontif, there's always a malach of Yontif, but there is very much a remnant of the idea that your Purim is a Yom Tov, in the sense that Purim has qualities, has characteristics of it that really appear with all the Yom Tovim. And if you look at each one of the Yom Tovim, if you try to encapsulate what that Yom Tov is, a little bit of a, it's like a dafyomi through Yom Tovim right now. We go quickly through the year of the Yom Tovim and to try to evaluate, try to analyze what is the real nekuda of that Yom Tov. So we'll notice that each one of those nekudas is very much present in the celebration of Purim. So Purim is the Yom Tov in the sense that has a little bit of everything. You know, Pesach is Pesach, Pesach is not Yom Kippur. Sukkot is not the Shavuot. Each Yom Tov is separate and distinct. And Purim has a mashu, has a little bit of something that was incorporated, Chazal incorporated, Baruch Kodshim, when they instituted the Yom Tov of Purim. So they instituted a little bit of everything within the celebration of Purim. So we start with the Chesh Zilachem Rosh Chodesh, and the Yom Tovim cycle starts with Pesach. So you have to try to think, what exactly is the essence of a Pesach? A lot of themes of Pesach. But clearly, Pesach is obviously a Zman of Geula. That's clearly the major motif of the Yontif of Pesach. That Kadosh Baruch Hu is Goyel Klal Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu saves us, Kadosh Baruch Hu protects us. So Chazal already tell us that there are very real connections, both in terms of Halacha and in terms of Machshava, to the Geula of Pesach and to the Geula of Purim, to such an extent that the Gemara in Maseches Megillah has a famous discussion. What do you do when you have a Shana Mubaris? When is the appropriate month to celebrate Purim? So the Mokot Machlekes Atanoim. So one Tana says, Mitzvah Bol Yel Chazach Mitzvah. The first Adar. Both Adars are technically Chodesh Adar. Each one would potentially be a Kiyam of the Mitzvah of Purim. So you could theoretically read the Megillah in the first Adar. So one Tana says, you read it in the first Adar. Says, Mitzvah Bol Yel Chazach, why should you wait till the second Adar? Do it in the first Adar. And the Gemara quotes the other opinion says, no, that there's a reason why you wait till the second Adar. Does it? In theory, it would have been nice to lay in the first one, but you can't. Because if you lay the Megillah in the first Adar, you're going to lose out a certain kiyum of Kriyas HaMegillah. What are you going to lose out? You're going to lose out the idea of being Samech Ula LeGeula. From the first Adar to Pesach is 2 months. It's a very, very long time. From the second Adar to Pesach is only 1 month. So we want to have as close as possible the Geula of Pesach and the Geula of Purim. If you have Locha, there has to be a connection between the two. You have to go from one to the next. Why is that so important? What is that all about? So it's interesting, you see that even within, I think we spoke about this in the Mishnah Nichnas Adar Shir, where Rashi has a comment, Mishnah Nichnas Adar Marav Mesimcha. So Rashi writes, why is Mishnah Nichnas Adar Marav Mesimcha? Because these are days of Purim and Pesach. So since Purim and Pesach are here, so it's a Marav Mesimcha. So Rashi didn't realize that Pesach is not an Adar. So Rashi obviously learned, Mishnah Nichnas Adar doesn't mean Bichodesh Adar Marav Mesimcha. That's not what it says. It doesn't say Bichodesh Adar. You know, Adviad Bechlal, that's it. Until the month of Adar, that's all the Simcha. No, Rashi learns, Mishnah Nichnas Adar means when the season of Adar starts, which starts the Zman of Geula, so Tata Matim B'Simcha. Mishnah Nichnas Adar continues after Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It doesn't say B'Chodesh Adar Marav B'Simcha. It says Mishnah Nichnas Adar. Once Adar starts, Feshteitzach into Pesach, there's a din of Marav B'Simcha. The Gemara didn't have to say that. That's obvious. Of course, in Nisan, there's a din of Marav B'Simcha. The Chiddush is even Mishnah Nichnas Adar is Marav B'Simcha. So you see that the Zman of Geul of Purim and the Zman of Geul of Pesach really go hand in hand. And why is that so? So perhaps this is a throwback to the famous Gemara Maseches Megillah, Dr. Dalit, where the Gemara raises a question about the very creation of the Yom Tov of Purim in the first place. The Gemara says that there was a very, very serious problem, Api Alocha, with the very institution of Purim. What was the problem? So the Gemara says that we had many Nevi'im, many Nevi'os, and for 1,000 years or so, from the time of Matan Torah until the days of Purim, nobody had the audacity to add on a new Yom Tov. Nobody added on a new mitzvah. The Torah was just going. We had 630 mitzvahs. We were doing fine the way we were. And all of a sudden, Kup, Mordechai, Yester, and Baruch Abu, and start adding on a new Yom Tov and adding on new mitzvahs. How could they do that? So the Gemara says that we were afraid. Chazal were very, very concerned. The Anshei Knesset Gedolah were very, very concerned. It was a nice idea what Mordechai Yester were proposing, of Lasa Samim Mishta V'Simcha, to institute a Yom Tov of Purim. But it was very, very, very gutsy. We had never heard of such a thing. There was no such thing as a new Yom Tov for 1,000 years. So the Gemara says that Chazal were almost ready not to institute Purim until they came to the realization that it's okay. They came to the conclusion that it's all right. There's nothing wrong with adding on Purim, and therefore, not only is it not wrong, but it's actually right. And the Gemara says, how did they figure it out? They avdus l'cheiris omim shirim and misa l'chayim l'kol shigim. They realized that we're not celebrating a new Yom Tov. We're not making up something new. We're not reinventing anything. We're not inventing something. We're reinventing something. We're just taking a principle, a halachic principle that says that when you have a great deliverance, you have a great celebration, such as me'avdus l'cheiris, you have to experience it by saying a shira. You can't just let Yitzis Mitzrayim go by. You can't experience a ge'ula and not respond. So just as the ge'ula of Yitzis Mitzrayim we had to respond, so to the ge'ula of Purim we have to respond as well. If I'm not mistaken, I think the Shabbos that we had the Shabbaton, we spoke about this drush a little bit. But we have this l'cheiris, why Yitzis Mitzrayim is called Avdus l'cheiris, and Mishalachayim, we spoke a little bit about that. But you see from the Gemara that the mokor for Purim, the heter for Purim, was Pesach. It was only because there was a bachter of Pesach that enabled us to celebrate the Yom Tov Purim altogether. Because what Pesach teaches us is that you have to celebrate Geula. So from the fact that you have to celebrate Geula, we derive that you have to celebrate the Geula of Purim as well. So when you think about Geula, so when you think primarily about the Geula of Pesach, which again is the model, is the makir for the celebration of the Geula of Purim, so we find that Geula is described in two different ways, and it really comes to a fore in the Machlokes Amoraim, in the end of Maseches Pesachim, as to what the Ikar Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is all about. Everybody agrees that you have to tell over the store Pesach night. Everybody agrees there's a din, the Mishnah says, Masu B'Ginusim Sayim Meshevach. Reb Chaim says that's an integral part of the Sipur. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is not there as Zechira, Reb Chaim says. Whenever you have a mitzvah Zechira, so Zechira means you just say quickly, make a quick mention, there's no theme, there's no give and take. Like when I make Kiddush, I don't have a whole discussion. I just, today Shabbos, Kiddush, Zechus, and Mitzrayim, and finish. When I say Yetzias Mitzrayim every day, I just say, Anishom HaKech, Mishat Seisias, come finish. But when it comes to Yetzias Mitzrayim, it has to be Derech Sipur. And Derech Sipur means it has to be a plot, it has to be character development, it's got to be a whole story. So part of the whole story is Maskeh B'Gedusah B'Sayim B'Shevach. That's what the Mishnah, that's what Tosh Mavet tells us. You have to talk about the bad times and then reach the culmination of the good times. The Gemara is a Machlekes Rav and Shmuel. What's the bad and what's the good? What's the theme of Pesach night? So one day it says you start with Avadim Hayinu and you conclude with Ve'yotzeinu Hashem Mitzrayim. And the other day it says you start with Mitchila of the Avodah Zarah and you conclude with V'yachshav Kivana Machom Avodah. What's the Machlekes? Yes? So it's clear the Machlekes is at Pesach there was really a double Geula. There was a physical Geula and there was a spiritual Geula. They were both true. And the question is, which is the key? Which is the main one? So we pass in Halacha both. We pass in both Avadim Hayinu and Bibchila. But even though we pass in, you have to have both, what's the relationship between the two of them? So it's obvious that the goal of the physical Geula is not a goal in and of itself. Just a person would just say it to say it Avadim Hayinu and not focus on Bibchila of the Avodah Zarah, not focus on the fact that there was a transformation spiritually of the Jewish people at the time of Yitzchak Mitzrayim. So we only told half the story. The whole point of the Gashmis Geula was to get to the Ruchnius Geula. It's true, we couldn't have gotten the Ruchnius Geula without having the Gashmis Geula first, but the goal of the Gashmis Geula was only halfway. It was only to enable us to experience V'achshav Kivana Machom Avodosei. It's not just the Shtikl Torah himself, it's all the Pesukim and Chumash. From day one, when the Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Klal Yisrael, they're coming out of Mitzrayim, V'otzeis Yischem Itachem, V'lakach Yischem Yili'am. Every time the Torah says, Ani Yishem Lokechem, V'otzeis Yischem, V'yayis Tachem Elokim. It's understood. Shalachas Amivi Avduni. There is no independent Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Yasam Makos are not important in themselves. Kriyas Yam Suf are not important in themselves. They're only important if they lead and they result in eventual spiritual Geula. So that model of a dual Geula that makes up the very essence of Pesach is also present on Purim. Purim is, according to the simple reading of the story, is a physical deliverance. It's a physical Geula. But there's something much more to it than that. If the story would have just ended just the way it is, you know, if there was a bad guy, you know, we outsmarted him, he ends up, he's gone, and we're great, and we're safe, and then showing him, let's party. That's, you don't need the Yom Tov for that. That's not pay. That's nothing. It's a nice thing. We're happy. Thank you, Baruch Hashem, for that also. But that's not the celebration of Purim. Celebration of Purim is when there was a spiritual deliverance, and there was a spiritual delivery to Klal Yisrael. Because look how Klal Yisrael changed from the beginning of the Megillah to the end of the Megillah. Not only did they change physically, but look at the spiritual transformation that took place. The beginning of the Megillah, we spend the first 20 psukim. It's my favorite part of the Megillah, the first 20 psukim, because I'm the Bakari and no one can interrupt me, the first 20 psukim. So it's nice, it's easy to learn. The first brach is very easy. The first two brach are easy to learn. When you get to the third brach, I was hakadik shayak but hummer, and it starts to get, you know, stressful. So the first brach, we're reading about this elaborate party with all this mishagasim about golden wheels with curtains and golden and silver beds and all this kind of stuff. Zechbatli, with the Persians, was sitting and having a lavish feast for 180 days. I mean, I wouldn't even know what to do after about 2 or 3 days of sleeping on a golden bed. What would you do afterwards? It's probably not that comfortable. But somehow they were able to do it. No problem. And then when it was all done, he had another week just in case he didn't get enough in. So why does the Megillah go into such gory detail about the party of Achashverosh? Because the Gemara fills in the gap. Tashbarat fills us in. And the second Megillah says it was the participation at this party that got the whole ball rolling. Because the nation Nenu Masudas Osa Rosha. What are the Jews going to this party for? What are they eating? What are they drinking the tray for wine for? What are they eating the tray for meat for? What are they watching the tray for entertainment for? What are they going? What are they sitting with this party? What are they hanging around with Achashverosh and his chevra for? That got the ball rolling. That was almost the downfall, almost the destruction of Klal Yisrael. So you have a very low spiritual state being described at the beginning of the Megillah, and then at the end, wow, it's unbelievable. Everyone's mamish, they were chayzeh b'tshuvan, there was tzom b'chir mispeh, and now everyone's dancing, everyone's celebrating, gavaldik akras atov to the banshav, everyone's celebrating Yom Tov, Mordechai is the leader. It's unbelievable. Such an amazing transformation. That's a spiritual geula. That's b'tchila ovdei v'rezor hayar v'sein, maybe akshav kivana machal v'vedasai. So lift in the story of the Megillah is also a dual geula. It's the geula of the body, of the guf. It's a geula of the neshama as well. That's the Pesach. The lift in the Yom Tov of Purim is a mini Pesach version. It's not just a mini Pesach version, but Pesach was the matter. Because of the events of Pesach 1,000 years earlier, we were able to re-experience this dual geula in the time of Purim. So there's a dimension of the Yom Tov of Pesach lift in the Purim itself. Purim and Pesach have to go hand in hand. Then we move on to the next Yom Tov. So the next Yom Tov is the Yom Tov of Shavuos. So Shavuos has a lot of themes to it. But of course, the primary theme is Zman Matan Torah Seinu. How do you know what the primary theme is? So very often Chazal will give it away in the way they describe the Yom Tov. So if Chazal instituted the Mischa Tefillah, Zman Matan Torah Seinu, so there are a lot of important mitzvahs that we do on Shavuos. It's Yom HaBikurim and it's Shtei HaLechem. Those are all important, but to get to the crux of what it's really all about is, of course, Zman Matan Torah Seinu. All those other mitzvahs accompany this Zman Matan Torah Seinu, and again, they're close to Shavuos. That one's around June's month, but we'll talk about it a little bit more. But the essence, of course, is Kabbalah Satorah. So the famous Gemara Masechet Shabbos tells us that there was the Kabbalah Satorah of Shavuos, as great as it was, it didn't quite last. You know why it didn't quite last? This week's Pasha. There was an Asav Nishma, there was a Chet Egel, Kofleim Harkigigis, even the Asav Nishma wasn't complete, and there was something lacking. So yes, Klal Yisrael were Mekabel the Torah. Yes, it's true. But there was still something lacking. It wasn't something complete. Hada Kibur B'mech HaShverish. The final Kabbalah Satorah that was made in the history of the world was in the times of Purim. There was a Kabbalah Satorah made at HaSinai first time around, and there was Luchos Shnius, and there was a Bris of Arbis Moav, there was the Hara Evel. There were a lot of Kabbalah Satorahs. And this was the punchline, this is the Machmor Fakish, how the Kibbul Mechash Verish. The Kabbalah Satorah of Purim is so integral to the essence of the Yom, I think we spoke about this also a couple of weeks ago, that according to some, that's what the Suda is all about. The Suda's Purim is the Ksav Sofer, they quote this Ksav Sofer last time, I don't remember. Ksav Sofer writes in his Tshuva, son of the Chasam Sofer, he writes that the reason why you have a Suda on Purim is not so much to celebrate the deliverance. The Suda's Purim is the Suda's Kabbalah Satorah. Because the Gemara says in Maseches Psachim that on Shavuos Hakol Modim V'Idan Lavi Lachem. There was one Tana, Rabbi Eliezer said that if you want to fast on Yom Tov, that's okay. You can sit and learn all day. Because the Torah says it's Atzeres Tzia Lachem, Atzeres Hashem Lekecha. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you can have either one. And Rabbi Yeshua, the way we pass it, it's Chatzi Lachem and Chatzi Lachem. So the Gemara says that even Rabbi Eliezer says that you can spend the whole day of Yom Tov sitting in the basement if you don't have to eat, but in Shavuos you have to eat. Why? Shavuos, Babat and Torah say no. How are you not going to eat? Hakol Modim V'Shavuos, Hakol Modim V'Atzeres, Debe'inan Lami Lachem. Yom Shiv Netar Yisrael. So why exactly that's so, that's already also part of the Shavuos Torah. But it's clear from the Gemara that Kabbalah Satorah requires a Suda. You cannot, it's inconceivable to have Kabbalah Satorah without a Suda. So the Beis HaLevi has a famous B.O.Y. He says, because the whole reason why we were Zoichet to Kabbalah Satorah was because Moshe Rabbeinu was able to outsmart the Malachim. The Malachim said, why are you giving the Torah to Bas of Adam? So Moshe Rabbeinu said, you don't need the Torah. We need the Torah. You have no Yetzirah. You're not going to kill anybody anyway. You have no Lasirtzah, Chasidah, Chasidah. It doesn't relate to you. None of that stuff relates to you. What do you need the Torah for? So Moshe Rabbeinu got us the Torah. He was Zoichet to get us the Torah because he told the Malachim, we are in Olam Hazeh. We live in this world. We have physical issues. We have people stealing oxen. We have people stealing barrels of wine. We have real stuff. What would the Malachim talk about? They would say, well, over the Torah, but it wouldn't mean anything to them. It would be like the way we say it. This stuff doesn't really happen. So we like Malachim. We save up the theoretical Torah. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. No, the Eisel needs the real thing. They need the real Torah. They have to live. They have to put these rituals into life. So they need the Torah. So that's what the Beis HaLevi says, that if we would spend the whole day in the Beis Medrash and Shavuos, we'd be like Malachim. So the Baruch Shalom would say, so what do you need the Torah for? So if it's Yom Shem Natarli Yisrael, if you're a Malach, you don't need the Torah. Because you're a Basav Adam, because you're eating your cheesecake, because you're having your Basav, because you're doing your fitzvahs in this world, so you need the Torah to guide you, to help you how to live in Olam Hazeh. So in Purim also, Purim is as Madak Kabbalah Torah, says the Ksav Sofer, so you have to have a Suda to celebrate Kabbalah Torah. If you spend the whole day Purim just sitting and learning, it'd be a whole day Kim V'Kibbul Kolo, you wouldn't have a Suda at all. It's a nice idea, Kim V'Kibbul, but not the whole day. Hakom Bo'odim V'Purim, don't worry, no one's going to be the whole day. Hakom Bo'odim V'Purim, to be the Lamed Lachem. Why? Because Purim is also, as you may Mishtu V'Simcha, because Purim is also the aim, the celebration of Shavuos. That's why the Ksav Sofer says, that's why there's a mitzvah of Shluach Manos. Because if you see a guy sitting down having a Suda on Purim, so you know right away this is Kabbalah Satorah Suda. It's Kabbalah Satorah Suda. So you see a guy sitting and eating and drinking, so you don't really know whether he's happy or whether he's miserable. Sometimes people eat and drink because they're miserable to forget their pain. So you see a guy sitting down and eating a Suda on Purim, so you're not quite sure. Is he really, really happy that he got the Torah? Or is he so mad? Why did they give Makabal the Torah over again? I wish they wouldn't have been Makabal the Mechashverosh. So he's trying to just wash away his sorrow for eating and drinking. So the test, the litmus test, whether a person is happy or sad, is you invite other people. If you're sad, you eat by yourself. But if you're happy, you can't make a chasna and not invite anybody. So you have to invite a lot of people to make you happy. So with the fact that we're inviting people to our Purim Suda, that we're sending out Mishloach Manos, we want to share our Suda, that's like an invitation. Please come and join me for my Suda. I'm going to send you a piece of kugel, I'll send you a pomatah, I'll send you a bottle of grape juice. To show that I want to share my Suda, that's an indication that we're Makabal Meiratzon. Since the whole Kabbalah Satar of Purim was a Kabbalah Meiratzon. Kabbalah of Shavuos was a Kabbalah Kofar Matagigas. But the Kabbalah of Purim was a Kabbalah Meiratzon, so we have to highlight the Ratzon. So Shalach Manos is a key to highlight the Kabbalah Satar Meiratzon, which date I think the last Chuvan Archaim of the Ksav Sofer. So Likvin the other Purim is a celebration of Shavuos as well. So it's not just a Zman of Geula, it doesn't just have qualities of Pesach, it has characteristics of Shavuos as well. We move on to the next of the Yom Tovim, so we'll go in the Shalosh Hadol order first, because they're a unit. We go to the Yom Tov of Sukkos. So Sukkos, of course, has many, many themes to it, a lot of themes to it, but if you had to think about what the primary theme of Sukkos, obviously, is the Mitzvah of Sukkah. The Mitzvah of Sukkah, what is the essence of the Mitzvah of Sukkah? The Gra points out, you make the cheshbon based on the psukim this week's parasha and next week's parasha, so you'll come out to the realization that the celebration of Sukkos, the Tesvah of Tishrei, coincides with the time when the Kadosh Baruch Hu was brought back as Ashras HaShechina to Klal Yisrael. There was a tremendous Ashras HaShechina at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And we left Mitzrayim and the Kadosh Baruch Hu was Ananiah covered by Yom, and there's the Eish Balayla. There's a tremendous manifestation of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence, and all of that disappeared. Why did that all disappear? It all disappeared b'shas chayt. When Klal Yisrael was chayt, and this is Pasha to the ego, so there's no longer Ananiah covered, there's no more Hashras Hashchina, you can't see a Kadosh Baruch Hu anymore. That's exactly what happened. It's not slu edge of Yacharev, I mean, the Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, tell Klal Yisrael, ki lo elev b'kibrucha. I'm not here anymore. I'm taking a back seat now. I'm not involved with you anymore. It was clear as day who I was. I had Nar Eish Achaz Baruch Har. I gave you a Yitzias Mitzrayim. I gave you a Shrosa Shechina Batan Teira. Rasa, I gave you a Chris Yamsev. Rasa Shivchal Yama Shalra V'ches Ben Buzi. I was there. I was in front of you. You saw everything. You had a Gevaldik Gemara Shechina. And now you have a Chaytei. So the Baruch Shalom says, you're not going to see me anymore. Not that I'm not here, but you're not going to see me anymore. That's it. Kilo Elar B'Kir 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 B' So Moshe Rabbeinu comes crying to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Vashti Kisisa. He says, no, please, you got to come back, right? We need you to come back. If you don't come back, we're not going. We can't go into Eretz Yisrael without you coming back. So finally, Kadosh Baruch Hu is asking, okay, come back. It's not going to be exactly the same, a little toned down, whatever it's going to be, but I'm going to come back. I'm going to re-reveal myself to you once again. And what is that? When Kadosh Baruch Hu comes after that first Yom Kippur and says, Salach Tegid Varecha, when Klal Yisrael now begin the Hakamas HaMishkan. They start to collect the stuff of the Mishkan, and the structure of the Mishkan begins to go. They start to collect, and they're getting ready to start building the Mishkan. So that's already the beginnings of the Asherah Sashchina coming back. That's the beginning of the Nani HaKavah. That's when the Nani HaKavah returned to Klal Yisrael. Sukkot is the celebration of when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who we thought was hidden, we thought had left us because we were Chaytei, and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm back again, and now you can see me again. And the Sukkah is Mikdash. Everything about the Sukkah is Mikdash. To such an extent, Sukkah is such a Mikdash, it's the only thing we have that there are dinim of Mikdash and a Chal on it. Kishem Shechal Shem Shemayim Al-Chagid, Kach Chal Shem Shemayim Al-Sukkah. There's an Isra Anor Midarais of Kodshim, of Mikdash. So Zvachim Dikadin, you can't get enough from the Schach. We don't have any other mitzvahs like that. A shofar I could use, a matzah I could use. You can't get enough from the Schach, not just an Isra Anor. It's an Isra Anor Ke'en Mikdash, because the essence, the Chepza of a Sukkah, is a Chepza for Mikdash. Why is it Mikdash? Mikdash is always Hashuras Hashchina. Because the very essence of the mitzvah of Sukkah is the fact that Shoresh Tinasa, that he re-reveals himself to us as Hashuras Hashchina. So that imagery of the celebration of what we thought all was lost, by Yom Kippur, we thought HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aster Panam, we thought HaKadosh Baruch Hu was hidden from us, and now we come to this unbelievable realization HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not hidden. He is there. Ein Lanu Theme Gadol Men Purim. That's exactly what Purim is. The very essence of Purim is exactly that. That's the greatest transformation of Purim, as Chazal already saw, lived within the names of the Bali Dover and the Megillah. And it's Esther. Gemara is the famous Kasha. Esther, Minatara, Minayin, Vishtek, right? How do you know? Where does Esther say in the Megillah? Where does it say Esther in the Torah? So, well, it's a funny pasuk. It's a play on the word. Anochi Aster, Aster Panan. Hester Panim, right? I feel about Astor, Shemesor Astor, right? The biggest Astor of Astor. Well, who said those words? Nachum Bresel? Yeah, it doesn't. I like it too. I love it. It's beautiful. So the Esther is the essence of Hester Panim, because that's how the Megillah starts. It starts at a tremendous time of Hester. And then the Gemara says, Mordechai min ator min ayin. What does it say, Mordechai? What's the Mohar? Where's that? The sixth parasha. Mar Doror. What's the Mar Doror? What's the Mar Doror? What's it for? Mar Doror is not for the Ketaris. Mar Doror, what's it for? How many things? It's for the Shemna Mishka, right? Isn't it? No, isn't it for Shemna Mishka? Mar Doror? No. Did I miss that? The Ketaris is Project Ketaris. Kach Chasim Ratafish Ketaris V'chabun Asim V'man Azvaka. But that's the Ketaris. Kach V'chab, Mar Doror, Kiron Vesera. It's the Shemna Mishka. What is the Shemna Mishka? The boy said, what do you do with the Shemana Mishkan? What's the point of the Shemana Mishkan? You anoint the Mishkan. It means Mordechai, linked to the day of Mordechai, is the fact that the Kadosh Baruch Hashchina will come back. So with the two Bali Dover of the Megillah, from Est to Mordechai, is that theme that the Kadosh Baruch was behester, and now he's going to come back Hashuras Hashchina. And in fact, what happens, this Galgul Advarim, at the end of the Megillah, there is no 11th parak of the Megillah. But after the story ends, so now Chazal fill in the details, now the Beis HaMikdash starts to be rebuilt. In the beginning of the Megillah, so there was a stopping of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. There was a Hester upon him. Even that beginnings of Bayis Sheni that was started was stopped. And that was the whole fight between Achashverosh is trying to make a Cheshbon as to why is he celebrating, why did he make this wild party for? What was the goal of this wild party? So Chazal tells us in the second Megillah, because the years of the Churban, 70 years were up, and there was no Beis HaMikdash. So Achashverosh's party, he says, there's never going to be another Beis HaMikdash. But what happens, he didn't know how to count exactly, he didn't understand the Nebuah, he didn't take an obvious, he didn't know how to read the Pesukim properly, and he ends up, he made a mistake, and Tacha Kachava, that a few years later, Tacha, the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt, there was Ashuras HaShchina. So at the beginning of the Megillah, there's a tremendous Hester upon him, and at the end of the Megillah, there's a tremendous Ashuras HaShchina. There's an underlying theme throughout the Megillah, that Chazal always pick up on, is that there's always this underlying theme about the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Chazal even say when Esther comes to Achashverosh, so she says there's something to ask. So what does Achashverosh say? I'm going to give you almost anything. Achatzia machus v'seyas. Give me half the kingdom. So the Gemara says that he said half the kingdom, but there's one thing he won't give her. So I'll give you half the kingdom, but the one thing I won't give you. What does Chazal say? If you ask to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, I won't let you. And he didn't know she was Jewish. He didn't even know she was Jewish yet. He thought that maybe she's in cahoots with the Jews. Maybe she's part of the, she's got cheshbonos. So he's so nervous that she's terrified at the thought of rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. He can't be masking, there should be a Beis HaMikdash. So anywhere in between the lines, Achashverosh is making parties when they celebrate the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and he thinks there won't be another Beis HaMikdash, and he's scared. He's a king of 127 countries. There's a Beis HaMikdash. So whenever you read these Gemaras, you always start to think, it does, Chazal seem to be, over-exaggerating a little bit. We want to make ourselves feel important, so we're making the Beis HaMikdash so important. It was the most important thing on the list in the governments of the ancient world. That's the only thing the Persian kings cared about. So if people are cynical, they read this Mamre Chazal, they think, it can't be. The Jews are just over-exaggerating. The Jews make it sound like everybody cares about them. Everyone cares about Yerushalayim. Everyone cares about Hatzor. Everyone cares about the Beis HaMikdash. It can't be that Persian kings didn't even know there was a Beis HaMikdash. They couldn't care less about a Beis HaMikdash. Nobody cares what happens to a couple of Jews sitting in the middle of the Middle East. Nobody really cares. The whole world doesn't care about us. Right? That's the cynical people. And then you listen to the news, and then you watch. No, did I miss something? I wasn't joined House of Congress, whatever it's called. Didn't the entire representation of the entire American people, wasn't the entire world's eyes focused on somebody speaking from Yerushalayim about a couple of Jews living in Eretz Yisrael? No. Mamish Pella. Pillay Plan. Mamish Pillay Plan. If anyone, if a Mashu ever has as a chashash about the significance of Klal Yisrael, about the truth of Torah, about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's running the world, they should just play yesterday's news. Is it a Shaila? It's not even the latest Asafik you could have. If you watch and you see that the whole world, Mamish cares about Eretz, it all revolves around Eretz Yisrael. The entire global politics revolve around a little piece of real estate that's 2x0, the whole Harabayas. It's the most significant piece of the entire world. It doesn't make any sense. There's nothing there. The couple of Hasidim Rabbi Mincha now. There's nothing going on there. I mean, Meir, whatever. There's nothing going on there. I mean, think about it. Seriously. It's mind-boggling. The Harabayas is mamish meaningless. From a strategic point of view, it's meaningless. From a political point of view, it's mamish meaningless. And it's the whole world. Everyone realizes that that's the Nakuda. That is the Nakuda of the entire world that can never ever be resolved on the B.S. Goyal. I remember when I was a kid. So we used to, we had this big encyclopedia in our house. You guys probably don't even know what encyclopedias are, right? You know, encyclopedias, before Google, this big thing called encyclopedias. You remember encyclopedias, right? A few years ago, in the Burgerfield Library, they were giving away an encyclopedia, an old world book from like 2000 or something. I think they cost $5 for the entire thing. So I bought it, just so my kids should see what it looked like. So we have an encyclopedia. You know, it exists called encyclopedia. So when I was a kid, that was the source of all knowledge. Every book before you ever had to write in elementary, you just went to the encyclopedia, copied out whatever it said in the rule book. That was time to see it. So they used to have these follow-ups to the, it's called the yearbooks. Remember those? Because every year, they would send you another edition of all the 100 most exciting things that happened during the course of that year. You know, the updates on this story and that world story every year. So we have in my parents' house, they have all the original, world books, and then we have from whatever, 1970 to 1980, we have to my father stopped the subscription, whatever. So that was, So I remember a while ago, sitting in my parents' house, and I remember just pulled off, just for the kicks, I pulled off an old world book to see what was the world talking about in 1970. I was 5 years old. What was the top? What were people talking about in 1960s, 1970s? What was going on? So you start to fiddle through the pages. So you see, there's a lot about Vietnam. There's a lot about space travel. Those are the top. The end of the 1960s. Those are the big things. Then you move into the 70s, and you see, there's Vietnam isn't talking about anymore. They're not so into space anymore. Talk about Watergate. Then you move on a little bit further. So I don't know. I guess you get in the later to the 80s, the collapse of the Soviet Union, each decade, each time, each time has its own, excitement. And then when you get 10 years later, you see, nobody's talking about Watergate anymore, no one's talking about Vietnam anymore. There's only one story that every yearbook you pick up, everyone for the last 6,000 years almost, everyone has a top story about what? About the crisis in the Middle East with Israel and its neighbors. Every single one, from 1969 to 1970, 71, so every single one has the up there, there's always on the top of the news, and will always remain on the top of the news. The way it is. So in case you had any chashash in your amun, you should take a look at the news, look at the news once in a while. Okay, get back to the story. So Sukkis is that celebration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu going from Hester Panim to going to Ashros HaShchinah, is looked in for him. There are two of the Yom Tovim, the Raisa that we have. Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah, the Yom Tov of Yom Kippur. So we have to think about what the essence of the Yontif of Rosh Hashanah is. What is Rosh Hashanah really, really all about? Again, multiple themes, but there's one halacha that says it all. If a person is davening Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, a very, very long davening, yeah, you forgot a thing here and there, without a start of taking for the Yavid, you I'd say. If you forgot to say Melech HaKadosh, you have to go back to the beginning. Because the only thing that really, really matters in Rosh Hashanah is Malchus Shemayim. The essence of Rosh Hashanah is Malchus Shemayim. Malchus Shemayim means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech, and there is no other Melech. Any other demonstrations of Malchus that you see are all a figment of your imagination. There is no Melech. There's only one Melech who's running the show. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lei Melechem Yad Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets people, you know, dress up as kings and make believe that they're kings, but that's it. There's only Eilon HaMelech Ela Ata. There's a word in the Megillah that appears more than any other word, and it became a stunt even that you have to start each column of the Megillah with that word. Some do that. It's called HaMelech Megillahs. Every word in the Megillah, every other word is a Melech. So you think, wow, this Achashverosh is all powerful. It's unbelievable. He's such a Melech. He's so powerful. It's the Melech. Half the time he's not even sober, probably more than half the time. At the time that he is, probably the time he's sober, he's better off. He shouldn't be sober. So, this is Malchus. Who's the real Melech? Who's really pulling the strings behind the Megillah? So there's a minute that many Bakhtaris have when they get to a Melech Yoshev Kisei Malchuso, so they change the Nigin to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. HaMelech Yoshev. Why do they do that for? It's the highlight that what you're seeing in front of you is just a game of Malchus. You want to know who's the real Melech? The emes of Melech is clear as day. The Melech Machir Melachim. Rosh Baruch Hu doesn't have to have his name in the Megillah. It's so clear, it's so obvious that the story took place because Rosh Baruch Hu dictated the details of it. That's Malchus. There's a Kabbalah of Malchus Shemayim in the Yom Kippur Purim. The celebration of Purim is mechayiv of us in Kabbalah of Malchus Shemayim, and it's a mechayiv of us to that understanding that those forces and factors that we sometimes attribute to be Malchus are mamish. There's only one Melech. Eilon HaMelech Ela Ata. I don't want to give away too much about the Sobolovsky theme for Purim costumes, but anyone who sees us in the next, you probably won't see that tonight, because I don't get dressed up tonight, but anyone happens to be our territory tomorrow, so think of what I just said, and then you'll be able to figure out who we are and why we are. Okay, enough of that. You have to come to see. Just know, you come in your sleds. The last of the Yom Tov, of course, is the Yom Tov of Yom Kippur. The connection between Yom Kippur and Purim doesn't need that much drushes. The Ari HaKadosh already made the connection. So Yom Kippurim, of course, is the Ari set up the Kabbalah that Yom Kippur has an Ein of Purim in it. That there's a definite similarities between Yom Kippur and Purim on so many different levels. Even in the very name of the Yontif, it's a very strange pasuk in the Megillah that they named the Yontif Purim Hashem HaPur. That's the most important part of the Yontif. I could have thought of so many catchier names for the day of Purim. It's a funny name. It's the day of lots. It's a lottery. And let's say Haman would have decided to destroy Klal Yisrael in a different way. He would have decided to, to use some other device. So he would have called it that. Some other name. Akein Karula Yamim Ela Purim Al Shem HaPur. It's not really so important. The poor. Pesach, I understand. Chag HaMatzos, I understand why we call Yom Tov in those days. But Yom HaKippur, Yom Chag HaSukkos, Rosh Hashanah, poor. Even Hanukkah, I understand. But Purim, it's a modern name. So there are a lot of significance to this poor. One of the significance of the poor is that there's only one other time when there are lots that are drawn that are significant. And what is that? The Soil HaZozo. On Yom Kippur, the essence of the Aveda, the high point of the Aveda of Yom Kippur is the drawing of the lots, the Soil HaShem, the Soil HaZozo. It's almost like a Kaddish Baruch was saying to us, this imagery, that when you draw lots, so you're saying you have two choices in front of you, two paths in front of you. You want to be a certain lifestyle, you want to be a certain way. I'm telling you, says Rebbe Hashem, the end of that lifestyle is Sa'ol HaZazel. It ends up total, complete destruction. You want to be a different lifestyle, it ends up as being a Karban Hashem, as a Chatas. Your Dam goes into the Kaddish Kedoshim. It's up to you. You draw the lots, you decide. Haman says to Klal Yisrael, without realizing what he's saying, that you went down a certain path, Nanim Yisidus Lasharasha, you want it? That's what the poor is going to end up. The transformation of Klal Yisrael is done dafka through the poor. But the poor, what do we say in the tefillah tonight? Poor Haman Nefach Lepurenu. The dafka, the poor, which at first glance was a death sentence for Klal Yisrael, that becomes the life sentence. That becomes the Yeshua. Dafka of the poor itself becomes the Gevalt of the Yeshua. Poor Haman Nebuchadnezzar, the Chazal wanted to remember that. They wanted to keep that imagery of Yom Kippurim in our hearts. They wanted us to realize that there's life and death, just as there's life and death of decisions that are made in Yom Kippur, the decisions of Klal Yisrael are life and death on Purim. If you go down the route of the beginning of the Megillah, Nedim Esusos HaRasha, you're going to end up in the hands of Haman. You want a transformation, you have to change. You have to go to the other poor, you have to go to the other extreme. Of course, the transformation takes place through the exact same vehicles as Yom Kippur. Mordechai gathers the troops, gathers Klal Yisrael together, and he makes Mamsha 3-day Yom Kippur. That's what he made. Now I'll eat, now I'll drink. It's Mamsha, the imagery of Yom Kippur. It's Tefillah, Za'oko, Tshuva. That's what it is. Yom Kippur taught us that when you have a tzara, when you have a death sentence, in Klal Yisrael, there's only one way. The only one way is go back to the basics. Bichayza b'tshuva, come back to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and therein is going to lie the Yeshua. That's the only way. All the other things, Mordechai had to do certain ishtadlus. Is it all true? You have to ishtadlus in each generation, and each challenge has its own levels of ishtadlus. But the common denominator is everything. It's tzayim v'chiyah misbeid, derech tefillah and za'oka, v'tshuva, v'tefillah tzedakah by v'rinus ra'agzeira. That's the only way that's ultimately going to save Klal Yisrael. What greater Yom Tov do we have than Yom Kippur, which teaches us that? If the way to be marvelous ra'agzeira is dafka through the mechanisms of tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah. So lived in the Yom Tov of Purim, whether it is a Yom Tov api aloch or api minig or it was or should have been, could have been, whatever. There's no question that many, many of the themes, the motifs of each of the Yom Tovim, from the Geul of Pesach to the Masa Torah of Shavuos to the Hashos Hashchina of Sukkis, to the Malchus of Rosh Hashanah, to the Tshuva of Yom Kippur, it's all there. It's one Yom Tov which has everything. And perhaps, even on the calendar, the way it's set up in such a way, that we find that there are two Yom Tovim that are known to us as Yom Tov of Atzeres, the Shemini Atzeres, and Shavuos is also called Atzeres Bechazal. Atzeres means Loshon Atzor, to stop, and to make a din b'cheshbon, and to try to figure out, you know, very often when you, like in learning, you know, you learn a lot, learn a lot, so you have to have a bechin at some time. Why? Because if you just keep on going, you never stop, you never reassess, you never chaz, you never summarize, so it becomes one endless, you know, flow of information, say, and you can't process. So bechin at times are good, 4 times a year. Good time to have a time to reassess, to stop, figure out what we accomplished, how much players we know, try to put it into perspective, and we think about it. That's the goal. When you stop, stopping is very, very good. Stopping life is a very, very good thing. It's one of the big miles of Shabbos. If you think about it, if you don't have Shabbos, then life never stops. Time never stops. So 1 week blends into the next. There's no end. There's no beginning. There's no end. There's no nothing. Shabbos forces you to take a stop to make a din v'cheshbon about life. One of the many miles. So the Yom Tovim also, the Kadosh Baruch Hu throws at us these unbelievable seasons of the year with these tremendous chizuk and inspirational times. But at the end of each one of the units, the Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us a stop. He gives us a red light. So we have the whole Yom Tov season of Tishrei. You have Rosh Hashanah, Sos Metshuvah, Yom Kippur, Sukkos. There's so much. We're soaking in all the ruchnias, and we're about to start the winter. We're about to go back to yeshiva, go back to work, and start over again. The Kadosh Baruch Hu says, stop for a minute. Shemini Atzeres, stop. What are you doing, Shemini Atzeres? Just your atzor. Atzeres tielachem, you just stop and you think and you focus and try to gather and summarize all the miles that you gained over the last few weeks of Tishrei. That's the goal of Shemini Atzeres. And you have the same at the other Yantav season. It starts with Pesach, and you have a Pesach, and you have a Sfiras Oimer, which is the Ramban writes as well, just a continuation of Pesach, it's Cholamoida Pesach, and it ends with the Shavuos. And the Torah, the Chazal calls Shavuos as Man of Atzira as well. It's also in Atzeres. Because the summer's about to start, you're about to take all those keichas of Pesach and Shavuos and Sfiras Oimer and stop for a minute and just rethink and recalculate and figure out where you're going, how to make the most of everything you've gained over the last 7 weeks. That's the Yom Tov of Atzeres. Purim is mamish the end of the Yom Tov cycle. In 2 weeks is Acheresh Zelachem Rosh Chodoshim. That starts the clock starting over again. The whole calendar begins over again. Everything we've accomplished in 12 months is now has to be stop, process, and think. So there's nothing wrong with over the next 20, is anything right? The next 24 hours, think a little bit about the Geul of last Pesach, and think a little bit about the Kabbalah Tatar of last Shavuos, and think a little bit about the Shiras Hashchin of last Sukkis. Think about Kabbalah Samachashimah of last Hashanah, think about the Tshuva of Yom Kippur, and that'll be the greatest key of a Yom Tov Purim. If Purim gets you in between the kibbutz kibbutz and in between you eating your suda, in between all the mitzvahs, you just stop for a minute and think about Ashreinu Matei Chokeinu. The Baruch Hu has given us such a year, such beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Yom Tovim, that hopefully Mitzvah Shem will start over again and press the restart button in 2 weeks from now. This is the Makom Patish. Hakol Echachar Seif. This is the end. This will bring a tremendous kiyum to the entire year of celebration of the wonderful Yom Tov. Wish everybody a firm. All's well, make the chagiga tonight, depending on weather predictions.